sometimes the best intentions fail miserably. In the 1970s, the State Department of Natural Resources purposely sank rings of tires all around the bottom of Puget Sound. At the time, researchers thought these could function as artificial reefs for our local marine wildlife. But as it turns out, tires are actually toxic for the environment, meaning today, tens of thousands of tires at the bottom of Puget Sound need to be dredged out. Randy Williams is one of the people helping discover and remove tires from our waters. He's vice president of the Washington Scuba Alliance, and I caught up with him this week to learn more about the toxic rubber menace.
Okay, well, the Washington Scuba Alliance is went through a lot of changes. It was originally started about 92. I was gone out of the area. Coast Guard had sent me to Florida, dear friends of mine in the Marco Bui Dive Club here in the Puget Sound area, a bunch of folks started it, didn't quite go anywhere. They were trying. The whole idea back then is, hey, we want to sink ships for reefs. That was the idea. Well, that didn't go very far. Washington Department of Natural Resources and the state in general said, we don't care what they've done in British Columbia. We're not doing that here. So it just kind of languished. So we reorganized things a few years back. Jim really was pushing for artificial reefs, which we were all in favor of, made out of rock.
And that's Jim Trask, the head of the Scuba Alliance.
He's the president, yeah. 14 years ago, a very successful program was done at Saltwater State Park down here in Des Moines. And we built it with partnership with State Parks, a beautiful rock, three-tier rock reef at Saltwater State Park. And it just blossomed. And it was a great success. It really helped to revitalize the state park, because Saltwater was the first underwater park in the state of Washington, designated underwater park. And so working closely with those folks, we did a lot of video, a lot of underwater photography for them. And they were quite excited. And it turned out to be one of the most beautiful reefs going. Well, since then, some resistance the last 14 years about dropping rock and building reefs. I don't understand why, because we know it works. So, okay, let's re-engineer things. So we changed our mission. We sat down and reorganized with our board and a bunch of our consultants in the educational field, the marine science fields. And now our mission is to enhance Washington waters, create sustainable marine environments through advocacy, conservation, and education. And that's the direction we've gone for the last 4 or 5 years. And it's worked out well. And so it's a much better direction.
So there are these piles of tires laying at the bottom of Puget Sound. Tell me about what that looks like and how they got there.
This started a long time ago. We've known they were there for years. There's so many areas. In fact, unfortunately, what really brought it to the forefront was Saltwater State Park, because we realized as we built the reef and we're diving out there for many years, like, what are all these tires out here? This is ridiculous. Who puts these things underwater? Well, surprisingly, it was the state and other organizations decided way back when, early 70s, 80s, hey, we can put out all these bundles of used tires. What a great use for them, and things will grow on them and it'll be great artificial reef. Wrong. It didn't work. Technology, science, chemistry, we all learned as time went on that the leachate from the breakdown of these tires underwater was doing a lot of harm. And there's been a lot of research over the years since to show that these are not good for the habitat. They just don't work in a marine environment.
Yeah, what happens when a tire is sitting underwater for a long time? What are the kinds of things that leach out of it? And what are the threats that can come from those chemicals to the Puget Sound?
It is shown that just the normal degrade of tires, normal wear and tear on the streets, the dust, you might say. And you think about it and go, you know, with all these tires worn out with millions of cars, where the heck did it all go? Well, it goes into the streams, into the lakes, and of course, eventually into salmon-bearing creeks and on out to Puget Sound. And it came to pretty obvious that there's a lot of toxins that leach out of these rubber products, because these aren't just totally natural rubber. This is material that has been manufactured chemically built for strength, durability, you name it. And one of those critical components that they identified was something called
six PPD quinone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just reading about that. It's a chemical that's added in order to stop the tire from cracking over time.
Yes. So six PPD reacts with ozones and it breaks down into a number of multiple chemicals, you know, quinone, toxic chemical responsible for killing the salmon. And so we did a lot of research into this and we started talking to a number of marine scientists who were involved at the University of Washington. And they all agreed that it ain't good. And then we said, well, what do you know about all these, you know, thousands upon thousands of tires sitting underwater, laying there just degrading? And to be honest with you, a lot of them looked at me and went, what tires? You know, I said, you don't know? You know, so we started to document over the years. We did a lot of work, try to convince DNR and fisheries, say, hey guys, you got to do something with it. Y'all put them in, you got to take them out, you know.
Whereabouts are they? I mean, are they scattered like all over the Puget Sound, or are they concentrated in any specific areas?
Pretty much concentrated in specific areas, but even then, the bundles that we have found, we're breaking apart, and there are many thousands scattered. Before I forget, I got to make sure we give a ton of credit to Ben Greiner with Coastal Sensing and Survey. And guy is amazing. And he and some other folks, we've all working together, but his technology, what he's utilizing in his boat, his information, mind-blowing. State-of-the-art side scan sonar, state-of-the-art sweep sonars, ROVs, those are your high resolution. With that equipment, we started up in areas like in Seattle, Elliott Bay, started looking at these known sites. And with the high resolution navigation, we then use the side scan sonar to locate these and to help quantify what we had. And we started working our way down the Sound. So phase one, we just completed here last month. So we have surveyed Elliott Bay, West Seattle, off of Alki Beach, down the corner, along past the lighthouse there at Alki Point. As we were scanning south from Three Tree Point, working our way towards Des Moines, around the fishing pier that was built 50 years ago, at the city of Des Moines, the port, we also were shocked to discover how many tires were out there. They were placed for fishing enhancement. Now, that was the goal of a lot of this work by DFW, DNR, all those acronyms in the lovely state. And it really kind of shocked us how much were out there. I've done a lot of diving there. We do an annual underwater cleanup teamwork with a number of organizations, the city of Des Moines, Port Des Moines, to do underwater cleanup around the fishing pier. So I've shot all this video out there underwater, and it just, they're like, whoa, there's a lot of tires out here. Well, as we scan more with the side scan, we discovered there were thousands of them out there. And that was a real surprise to us. So from there, we then worked our way down to Redondo. We started to find a few off of Redondo, and of course, Saltwater State Park between the downtown core of Des Moines and Redondo. And we've known a lot of the tires were there, but we didn't realize how many were further out and deeper. On our webpage and other areas, you can see the side scan sonars, the bathymetry that was done, and all the work. And then by counting those, noting an exact position, we can then quantify. We also went back to verify with the high resolution ROVs, remotely operated vehicles. And so we've gone all the way down to past Browns Point. We've done Tacoma, along the shoreline there, all the way to Ruston, in those stretches.
So you're using not just sonar, side scan sonar from a boat, but you also have remote vehicles that
Correct.
Can actually look for the tires underneath the water. That's amazing.
Once we locate it, we can quantify the position and get a detailed hit on the side scan. And this is extremely high resolution multi-beam sonar. And I've worked a lot in oceanography over the years. That's what I made my living doing. It is just unbelievable, the state of the art of the technology we currently have. And Ben's got it on his boat. It's a beautiful boat called the Research Vessel Phoenix, a 41, 42 foot boat.
Overall, there's an estimated 500,000 tires, I understand, in Puget Sound.
That is a current figure. We don't know that for sure, but I tell you, based on the sites we've seen, we know we have counted at least 26,600 to date.
And the scanning is still going on. Just
in the middle sound. Oh, and the other area, I almost forgot, over Blake Island, south side of Blake Island, was an area a lot of these were dumped and put into for fishing enhancement, upgrade artificial reefs. They added other concrete materials, slabs, encasements, and whatnot over the years. And we've done a lot of diving and research work over there too. So when we went back over to survey that site, we were kind of surprised at how much piles of tires we did find. So that was kind of a surprise.
I'm talking with Randy Williams with the Washington Scuba Alliance. So Randy, once you've got the location of a pile of these tires that are leaching toxic chemicals, what is the process? Take me step by step to get those out of the water, get those removed.
Well, that is our hope. At this point, once we have all this data and we can show it, we then present it to Department of Fish and Wildlife, State Department of Natural Resources, who we work closely with in a number of things. And then it's going to be up to them. They got to find the money to yank them out of there. We have successfully removed about 5,000 tires working with the city of Tacoma off the Les Davis fishing pier. And we came in on an agreement. We worked with the Nisqually tribes, and their underwater program was outstanding. They had the equipment to work with it. Old friend of mine, God, he ran this operation for years till he retired, Dennis Lucia. So he arranged to come in, and good training for his divers, and using the crane with grapnels, with GPS positioning at the top of the crane, cameras and so forth, we were able to reach down with a large grapnel and just pick them up in clumps because they're heavy and they're kind of anchored in concrete chunks. Now they're bedded in, and to keep them on the bottom, we then lifted those onto a barge and collected those. It's still up in the air. We still had a process with the city of Tacoma. They wanted to build a rock reef in front of there to replace the tires, build it with a successful basalt and granite natural stone that would not be toxic. They're still working on it, you know. So we've got to deal with that right now too. But we know how it can be done, and of course we've been in contact with a number of companies that can cut these up, grind them, process them. Unfortunately, because of the materials in it, they would have to be treated as a hazardous material, hazardous waste, and that means going to an EPA approved hazardous materials, probably a Class C landfill, and that would be Oregon. There's one down in Oregon.
Randy, do you know if this Puget Sound project in the 1970s, sinking these tires in order to theoretically provide habitat for marine life, later learning with our modern technology that, in fact, the tires are toxic and leaching bad chemicals into the Puget Sound, did this happen in other parts of the world or other parts of the country besides Puget Sound?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it did in the state of Florida, which has a very good generally track record with sinking ships for reefs off of Fort Lauderdale, Miami, down off the Keys. In fact, one of my old Coast Guard ships was sunk as an artificial reef down off of Key Largo in the 80s. And it was like, I went down for that sinking. It was like, yeah, you should have done it 20 years ago. But she was an old ship. She was an old ship, a glorious ship. But at the same time, the state of Florida off of Fort Lauderdale did drop many, I'm not sure as to figure. I've heard anywhere from 100,000, 50,000, who knows. And they were all set in big piles. Some years back, not that long ago, they started to remove them, and they needed the United States Navy dive program. Navy divers were down there yanking them off the bottom, trying to recover these things. So it has been done. So we know you can remove these and take them out. And these were tires stacked in clumps, you know, hundreds of meters long, 50 meters wide, just rows and rows of these things. And quite frankly, nothing really grew on them. Nowhere different than you can see the one over here, one of these tire piles. You'll see a few anemones on there, things like that, but really nothing to speak of.
Obviously, coral reefs and marine life across the globe is threatened.
Correct.
For various reasons, climate change, other factors, one of them being trash and toxic chemicals that, for example, are leaching from tires. Artificial reefs are definitely a strategy that is taken in some parts of the world. And you mentioned artificial reefs being sunk in Puget Sound. What makes a successful artificial reef?
Well, the critical thing we discovered at Saltwater State Park and other areas were interesting. Department of Fish and Wildlife also put in large rock piles for fishing enhancement because we don't want to put in artificial materials. They did over off of Vashon, where KBI Tower is. We call it KBI Reef, and there were their transmitters located. And other areas, there's a large rock reef that was built off of West Seattle by DFW. Really a good example of what works. So you want to put in non-toxic. You want to put in rock, and rock is important because it's got a lot of nooks and crannies and shapes and just smooth surfaces. Marine life doesn't like it. They like a lot of areas they can get into, which is why when we designed and built the reef at Saltwater State Park, we built three long rows starting on about 50 feet down to about 80 feet, and they're separated by maybe 50, 60 feet apart. We wanted to make sure allow current flow to cross it, not that it would block anything. And the two things we did is that we built these two shallow rows at from about 40 feet up to about 20 feet at the north and south run of the rock. And we built those out of what we call railroad ballast. They're about 1 pound rock, about that big around. And we stacked those in such a way it's a ribbon or a big rose of rock. What we've discovered in the last 14 years, that's a great location for the small marine life. Now, it's been studied. We've done a lot of fish counts, science out there. And so the larval animals, the small animals will go in there and they will breed and expand. And as the fish then move on, we have also seen a huge increase in the amount of rockfish. And rockfish is a very much of a population that's under a lot of threat. And so this is why it's been illegal to take rockfish in Puget Sound pretty much from about Nia Bay this way. For years, almost 30 years now. For a long time, they didn't know that much about it. Then all of a sudden in the 80s, they went, hey, these fish live a lot longer than we thought. Their sexual maturity doesn't kick in until much later than originally was thought. So it was a huge shift. All the marine biologists went, okay. And that's what happened. And they changed it. So now we built an area that we have seen a huge amount of rockfish have come into. We know it works. We're seeing huge population. Well, again, I've got video of many underwater photographers have taken great pictures out there, and it shows it can be done. Now, one of the great institutions that based out of the Keys, as a matter of fact, called Reef Environmental Education Foundation, reef.org, uses Saltwater State Park as one of their primary fish count areas. And two or three of the people who are heavily involved in pretty much the upper echelon of the program are good friends of mine. And they lead people out there. And every summer they do the great annual fish count, and they'll go out in different areas, but they concentrate and utilize as a base is Saltwater State Park and the artificial reef. Because they can tell you the day we put it in, what it looks like, start accounting, and we've got that documented how well that marine life has expanded. Now, if we can get the tires out of Saltwater State Park, the northern end, get those out of there, I'm sure it couldn't hurt to get rid of them. I mean, I'm sure there's some damage. It's very long-range mutagenics and things like that. But, hey, they got to go. They don't look good down there. Trust me.
Well, Randy, obviously we have huge metro areas, a lot of industry around the Puget Sound. Tires can't be the only thing that is polluting our waters.
No. No.
Are there anything else, trash or major threats that the Washington Scuba Alliance sees in the Puget Sound when you go down?
Yes. And there are areas that we know in my professional background working with military, with the government programs that I was with. We do know that Duwamish River is still a Superfund site. A lot of big areas in and around Commencement Bay, Hylabos Waterway, places like that are still Superfund sites. And other areas that have been cleaned up have done pretty good, but there's still so much area. It's non-point source. It's just us being humans and our population. It's just unfortunately the way we are, and it's going to get out there whether we like it or not. There are this argument of microplastics and threats and all that. Yeah, very sound science has gone into showing that this can't be good, you know. And then you look at the breakdown of the rubbers and the material out here, and they're going to crumble into tiny, tiny microscopic particles, adding to that micro rubber, microplastic argument. And that is unfortunately ingested by the fish, and it goes up the food chain. And we're very concerned about the life of the orca here in Puget Sound. Because if this is affecting negatively, as this one report that was said, you know, from Sarah here, she did this article that the UW did, and we can take that chemical, and we know that if it's damaging the fish, it can't be good for the orca, because those are the fish eating pods we got down here, and we get the occasional transients here and there. But
and it just magnifies in the food chain. Many toxins do. It, yeah.
This works its way up. Yeah. Yeah, PCBs is another long-term problem because it's a very long-chain molecule that gets caught up in fat, adipose tissues, things like that. And so it's going to affect the life of the creature and then whatever's eating them up the line.
Well, Randy Williams with the Washington Scuba Alliance, if folks are listening and they're wanting to follow along with the Washington Scuba Alliance and your allies in helping to identify these tires and where they're located in the Puget Sound and helping to remove them, is there anything that folks can do to help?
Well, at this time, as much documentation, if we miss something or there's other areas we haven't got to yet, there's a number of sites. This report that was done from the SiteScan survey, and this was done through Coastal Sensing and Survey that Ben had done. There's areas in Hook Canal, up further north into Port Susan, Whidbey Island between Whidbey and Camano. It's in areas we haven't got to yet. But if people who dive up there who know more about it, if they can document as much as they can diving, if it's reachable within safe diving limits, and I say, please give us the information. And our website is wascuba.org, wascuba.org. And then, of course, you can contact and information. I'm sure you can send it to Ben at Coastal Sensing and Survey. He's a great guy. Yeah, he's just been magnificent in this joint project we're doing and a number of other organizations. So, yeah, we appreciate all the help we can get.
Well, we appreciate you, Randy Williams, with the Washington Scuba Alliance, for stopping by. Thanks for being on Soundside today.
My pleasure. Have a great one.
So we know that tires sunk in the water are bad for Puget Sound, but there's also an expanding body of research on the ways tire chemicals can reach our waterways through runoff from roads and freeways. As Randy mentioned, in 2020, local researchers from the University of Washington and Washington State University identified for the first time a deadly chemical that leaches out of tires and causes coho salmon die-offs in streams throughout the Puget Sound region. It's called 6-PPD quinone, and it's a byproduct of an additive used to stop rubber from cracking when it's exposed to ozone. Here's Jennifer McIntyre, assistant professor with WSU's School of the Environment in Puyallup, talking about the chemical during a House subcommittee hearing last summer.
6-PPD is a highly reactive chemical designed to scavenge ozone at the surface of tires. 6-PPD quinone is produced when 6-PPD is attacked by ozone. And 6-PPD quinone is therefore produced on the surface of the tire and can leach from the tire when it is exposed to water. This new chemical has been measured in surface waters by our group and now by others in North America and around the world at concentrations that we know kill coho salmon.
And during that July 2021 hearing, McIntyre was asked, what happens if we do nothing about 6-PPD quinone?
So this chemical is toxic enough that we see population extirpations, which are localized population extinctions, have occurred, you know, in many streams already throughout the area. The reason we were able to study this issue in the first place was actually because of strays from net pen operations out in Elliott Bay returning to this newly restored habitat that had been created. And without those fish coming back and doing that, we maybe wouldn't have noticed that this had been taking place already for decades. So the risks of not doing anything is to have our populations continuing to decline, particularly in areas where we are expanding human development, right? The more we build roads and drive our cars on the highways, the more we're going to see this problem expanding into areas where it doesn't currently exist.
Also testifying was David Trout, Natural Resources Director for the Nisqually Indian Tribe and a salmon recovery expert. He talked about how badly salmon populations have declined in the past 25 years.
When I started with the Nisqually Indian Tribe in 1987, we were fishing 105 days throughout the year sustainably. That meant my fishermen and our community were engaged with the Nisqually River and fished for abundant salmon populations. So 105 days in 1987. In 2015, we fished 8 days. The trend is not supporting tribal treaty rights. The trend is not supporting the condition or the continuation of our traditions and cultures. And if the coho populations continue to decline, I'm afraid 8 days will go to 5 days, down to 2 days, down to no days. And that will have a devastating impact on our community, disconnecting them from the place where they've been for 10,000 years.
And we have an update on 6PBD quinone. As our own environment reporter here at KUOW, John Ryan, reports, states are beginning to take action against the killer chemical. The California Department of Toxic Substances Control is expected to issue a draft rule this month requiring tire manufacturers to look for alternatives to 6PBD quinone. 6PBD, that is, and Salmon Safe Tires in California, which is the largest car market in the country, that will likely mean pushing the whole industry to adapt. The Washington Department of Ecology is also currently testing alternatives to 6PBD, and we'll keep you updated on that.